Nicole Piastri, F1 Academy drivers, Oscar Piastri's former performance coach and the producer of the F1 exhibition, coming up in this episode. Welcome back to Away We Go podcast.
Are you ready?
It's lights out and away we go!
Well, hello, and welcome back. First F of the year. It's good to be back chatting with you all. I hope you've had a really good start to the year. I recorded this late last year when I went to the launch of the F1 exhibition, which is on in Melbourne. And a hot tip, they've added more sessions to the F1 exhibition during race week. So if you tried to get tickets and couldn't because it was sold out, go back and try again. I reached out to the organisers to ask, and yes, they said they've extended sessions, and yes, so there's more tickets available. So why would you want to go to the F1 exhibition? Well, there's plenty of reasons. Firstly, it's totally epic. Secondly, there's F1 simulators that you can race. That's part of it. There are 5 full-size Formula One cars on display, a bunch of different engines. There's an Australian room that's got memorabilia and stories and interviews from, you know, Mark Webber and Alan Jones and, of course, Oscar Piastri, Daniel Ricciardo, as well as Jack Brabham. There's loads of interactive displays. It's really fun. It's not just a static walk through kind of like a museum. There's things you can, you know, touch and feel. There's a podium you can get a photo on. If you're a Formula One fan, I highly recommend going to the F1 exhibition. It's really worth it. Now, 2026, wowzers. There's already so much happening, from the livery launches, which I'm going to be honest, nothing has really wowed me except Ferrari. I kind of feel like the Ferrari livery is a bit Michael Schumacher era, with a big white section on the car. I quite like it. A lot of people haven't really loved it, but I quite like it. Testing's been going on in Barcelona with some surprising times. We're entering a whole new era of Formula One, new regulations. There's actually a lot to talk about, but we'll get into that at a later episode. One thing for the eagle-eyed out there, you may have noticed that the podcast looks slightly different. It's a very small tweak from a name change. So it's now Away We Go podcast. So I might have been contacted by some lawyers who might have said that a certain term describing a certain sport was copyrighted and trademarked and yada yada. To make everybody happy, I've changed the name of the podcast. So, new season, new name. And, there'll be a new co-host who you'll get to meet. Well, you've actually already met her, but you'll get to know Kira in more detail in an upcoming episode. But for now, let's jump in and hear from Jonathan Linden, who's the producer of the F1 exhibition. And I had a chat with him while I was there in Melbourne.
Jonathan Linden, I'm the producer of the F1 exhibition, and I'm the co-CEO of Round Room Live.
So Jonathan, welcome to Melbourne, welcome to Australia. So good to have you here. I'm so excited to go through and see the exhibition. So you said earlier that the idea came up in 2019. Like, what sparked that idea to have this, you know, put on an exhibition like this?
Well, it's a great question. We had done a number of exhibitions, the Rolling Stones exhibition, the Jurassic World exhibition. And so we were looking for content that we really thought was dynamic and global. And as sports fans, we liked the idea of a sports exhibition. And so F1 was a perfect content, because it is one of the truly global sports. We're getting offers and opportunities around the world, and it's equally popular in so many places.
Amazing. And what are your most, what's the most prized part of the exhibition? What's something that you look at and you're like, I'm so glad we got that?
There's a lot of items that took a long time to negotiate and figure out. There's a 2011 Sepp Vettel Red Bull car that he won the 2011 championship in, which is amazing. And as was discussed, Romain Grosjean's crash in 2020, there's an entire room dedicated to it. And it was a bit of a different negotiation, because it wasn't sort of valuable items. It was items that were part of a historic crash, and so it's an amazing part of the exhibition.
What was the hardest thing to get your hands on?
I think the hardest thing to get our hands on was the Lewis Hamilton 2019 championship car. And so we had it in London. We don't have it here yet. We're still chasing it down. But it is it's one of those very sought-after items where they don't let it out of their sight for too long.
Okay. And so the exhibition's here in Melbourne until April. And where to next?
We haven't announced where it's going next, but this version of the exhibition is going to stay in the APAC region for a period of time. We have a separate version that's in Europe, and we have a version that's in Las Vegas. And so we're looking forward to being in this region of the world for a while.
And is there anything else you'd like to add about the F1 exhibition being in Melbourne?
No, just that, as I said, we are very excited to be in Australia. A lot of people ask, why Melbourne or why now? Sometimes it's just a matter of right venue, right partner, but we think it's perfect timing. We're so excited that Oscars had such an exciting year, and we can't wait for people to see the exhibit.
So, another last question, sorry. Is that, were you a Formula One fan before this idea came to be?
I was a huge sports fan, a little less F1, but through the pandemic, like a lot of people, I watched all of the episodes of Drive to Survive. I felt like I got to know the drivers of the sport a little bit more, and then obviously through being a producer, I've been able to be at Grand Prix, interact with F1, and once the sport grabs you, it's kind of got you.
That high octane fuel gets into your blood and it never leaves.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
thank
you. Next, I spoke with a 2025 Formula One Academy driver, Ava Agnostiadis, who unfortunately was plagued with injury, but I asked her about that at the F1 exhibition. And if it sounds like I'm shouting a little bit during these interviews, I was, because it was really noisy there. I've tried to cut out some of the background sound so you guys don't have to deal with the noise, but yeah, if it sounds like I'm kind of shouting a bit, yeah, I was. So yeah. Let's hear from Ava.
I'm Ava Agnostiadis, an F1 Academy driver for 2025.
Awesome, Ava. Well, I'm so excited to meet you. I've been following your journey and super excited to see you graduate into the F1 Academy this year. So you've been plagued by an injury.
Yeah.
How is ankle? Was it the ankle?
Yes, it was my ankle.
How's it going?
I'm in a lot of pain right now in heels, but my pants are too long for sneakers, so I had to deal with it. But yeah, it's been quite a tough road, about 2 months of physio so far, and it's still going. So yeah, it would have been okay, but all my muscles tore as well as the bone broken. So I put a screw in and it's just been go, 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 trying to get it as recovered as fast as I can so I can get back in the car.
Get back. Yeah, you're still driving next year in the F1 Academy?
It's silly season at the moment, so everything's up in the air. No one really knows where anyone's placed, so we're just going to see what happens and yeah. Find out soon, I believe.
Yeah, okay. So it's not confirmed yet. Thank you.
Nothing. No one's ever confirmed.
Well, we wish you all the very best for a speedy recovery and for next year, getting back in F1 Academy.
Thanks.
Is there anything that you would like to say?
Come check out the F1 exhibition. It's opening night and I've been through a couple of times. It's really awesome. So definitely come check it out.
Awesome. We haven't yet heard what the future holds for Ava. All for our next guest, who is Joanne Ciccone, also a 2025 Formula One Academy driver. She's such a bright spark of a personality. Let's hear from her.
I'm Joanne Ciccone. I'm 16 years old from Melbourne. I'm a Formula One Academy driver and I'm here today at the Melbourne Formula One exhibition.
So tell us, what was the feeling like when you got the call up to be an F1 Academy driver?
Oh my gosh, it was a surreal feeling. I remember the night my parents knew and we had a call with my manager. He presented the news to me and I was in disbelief. You know, I tried so hard to get into the F1 Academy. It was almost surprising that I got in. I did 4 races and I was in the F1 Academy. So that was so, so cool. And it was a huge wave of emotions. And I can't believe I participated as the youngest driver this year.
The youngest driver this year? Wowzers. That's incredible. How did you find it? Like, you're all driving the same spec car. Some people say the cars aren't amazing, but I mean, give us your honest opinion. How was it?
It was a, phenomenal experience to participate this year in the first season. For me, it was so extraordinary. You know, we participated in some of the biggest rounds in the Formula One Grand Prix around the world. And for me, as a driver, as a female driver, that kind of recognition is unmatchable. And it's honestly so good to see that spotlight for us girls. Fortunately, I missed out on that boat when I was younger at first in motorsport. So it's amazing to be part of it this year.
Amazing. And what's the plan for next year?
There's a few options on the table, all really exciting options. Nothing's confirmed, unfortunately. I can't really say. But I'm honestly really looking forward to my second season in Formula Racing. So, yeah.
Okay. So we'll see you on the grid again next year.
We will see.
Well, all the very best. Congratulations on making it to start with and having a great season. And, all the very best for next year and beyond. And thanks for having a chat.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for your time. Thank you.
Enjoy the exhibition.
Good on you.
Let's hope that both Ava and Joanne find seats this year. We'd love to see them representing Australia in F1 Academy again. And let's hope Ava's injuries are fully healed and that her career isn't stalled by injury any further. Next up, we've got Kim Keedle. So Kim was the high performance coach for Oscar Piastri and a couple of other F1 drivers. And I asked him about that again at the F1 exhibition.
Kim Keedle, former high performance coach for F1 drivers.
So Kim, tell us some of the drivers that you've worked with in Formula One.
Yeah, so when I got involved in Formula One, I was originally working for Haas, the team, so working with their mechanics and engineers. And then I was very lucky from there to go and work with Romain Grosjean, who was a Swiss driver. And then once he finished his career, I was lucky enough to work with Oscar Piastri at McLaren.
Fabulous. And of those drivers that you work with, has anyone stood out?
Of the two F1 drivers that I worked with, they were at both two very different stages of their career. Obviously, Roman was established and coming towards the end of his career, and Oscar was in Formula 2 when I started working with him and coming into Formula 1. So they both have their stood out in different ways.
And what sort of things do you do with them? Is it like fitness, mindset? Like what? Tell us what can help them.
A lot of fitness work to make sure that they can get in the car and, you know, not break down and withstand the demands of driving a Formula One car and the demands of a Formula One season. It's a long season with a lot of travel.
Yeah.
But of course, taking care of other things as well, like nutrition and jet lag planning and all of these things that go into preparation for a Formula One driver outside of the car.
So what do Formula One drivers have to do to withstand those G-forces that they need?
The biggest difference between you and me is if you just have a look at their necks and how big their necks are. So they need to have strong necks and strong trunks.
Yep.
And they need to be aerobically fit, so have a strong cardiovascular system to be able to withstand the forces of the car and the heat that, you know, they're in fireproof suits, so they're not very breathable, which is great, but it makes it very hot for the driver.
So I suppose, you know, having their fluids up before they jump in the car and taking fluids in while they...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So hydration strategies. They actually have a water in their car in a little camel pack sort of thing. They might have up to a litre, but it often sits very close to the engine, so it kind of gets warm during the race. So it's not the most comfortable thing to drink, but yeah.
And what was your favourite thing about working in the Formula One circuit, like working in Formula One?
I mean, it was just such an impressive industry from, you know, the logistics, how many things travel and how they set up each race and the full show. It was impressive to see how competitive and how fierce these drivers are. Overall, it was just a great experience, you know, being a boy from Melbourne and being able to travel the world and base myself in Europe and travel around with these guys is unbelievable, and I'll never take it for granted.
You're doing now, Kim?
I took some time off this year once I moved home, and I'm actually now working on an AI-powered mentorship app. It's called Pocket Mentor, so it's going to help translate some of the learnings that I had from F1 and, you know, put that into everyday life to help people perform at their best and enhance their everyday lives.
And when will that be launched?
That'll be launched in January, so it's not developed yet, but in January you'll be able to find it in the app stores.
Amazing. Well, Kim, thank you very much for stopping by to have a chat.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So interesting. I'm going to try and get Kim on the podcast, actually, to have a bigger chat about his role. I just think it's so fascinating, just the the mindset of drivers and everything that they have to prepare for. I mean, Formula One as a sport, to be a driver now is such a different beast than what it was like 30 years ago. I guess you could say that for all sports, you know, including cricket. Now the athletes are a lot more fitness focused, health focused, nutrition focused.
Yeah.
And last but not least of my interviews at the F1 exhibition in Melbourne was the affable Nicole Piastri. She's such a bundle of energy, and you can see where Oscar gets his personality from. Let's hear from Nicole. The most famous mum in motorsport. I'm here with Nicole Piastri at the F1 exhibition. Very exciting. So, Nicole, it must be just a mix of pride and absolute fear watching Oscar race. Like, how do you feel?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, and pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, pride as well. So a mix of all of those, all of those things.
Yeah. And have you had a chance to speak to Oscar? I mean, the championship's hotting up. Like, how is he? How's his mindset? How's he feeling?
When I speak to Oscar, we very rarely talk about racing.
Oh, you talk about normal stuff.
You just talk about normal stuff. Yeah. And but by his demeanor and how he's chatting away, he's totally chill, under control, loving it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's lived away from home for a really long time.
Yeah.
How do you guys keep in contact? Like, how do you maintain, you seem like a really close family. Like, how do you maintain that closeness?
Yeah, well, because Oscar was at boarding school from the age of 14, we had basically every Sunday night he would FaceTime. So we had that routine. It's a bit more challenging because every second Sunday night was racing. But we still kind of... He normally does FaceTime on a Sunday night if he's not racing, or, you know, we try and get over there. So we work it out, text a lot.
Yeah.
Thank God for modern technology.
Yeah, well, it's made life a lot easier, hasn't it?
For me.
Yeah, especially when you can see someone on the, you know, the
exactly.
other side of the screen.
Yes.
You know, hearing their voice is one thing, but being able to see them is...
Yeah.
That makes it...
And even for Oscar, you know, he wants to know where the dog is, like, what's Basil doing? He wants to, you know, I walk around the house and show him what's happening there. So it feels like he's there. It's lovely.
Yeah, awesome. And what's, you know, one thing you're most proud of when it comes to Oscar?
The one thing I'm most proud of is who he is as a person. His integrity, his resilience, his loyalty, his sportsmanship, his humility.
Yeah.
That's what I'm incredibly proud of.
Amazing. And where did his love of racing, where did that come from?
Well, both Oscar's grandfathers were mechanics.
Oh,
and Oscar's dad also has a motorsport-related business. So it was just innate in him from as young as I can remember.
Okay.
So surrounded by it, but even before he could speak full sentences, he could tell you the badges of the cars that were going past. So it's just been in him.
From day one,
absolutely.
And your girls, your daughters, have any of them got that same affinity with racing or cars?
One of them, the middle daughter, was very fierce in a go-kart. So I put a stop to that really quickly because I was not having more than one kid, and she's a little bit more of a risk taker than Oscar. So that's not a good thing. Oscar's a bit more cautious, and that's the way I like it.
Yeah. And are you getting to any of the races, the next two races? Will you be able to get over there for either of those?
No, we haven't decided yet. It's just a sort of fly by the seat of our pants. We haven't made plans.
Okay.
But it's not to say that we can't jump on a plane. We'll just see how he's feeling, how it's going, we've got a bit going on here at the moment. His sister's turning 21. So we've got a bit to juggle.
And you're also a naturopath, a busy naturopath.
Yeah, that's right. Business to run, a life away from Formula One. So there's a lot in there. But, yeah, we try and support him however we can.
And do you provide any natural remedies to Oscar, you know, through your
For years he used to travel with a horrible potion that for his immune system because he couldn't swallow tablets. So he would have this potion which he's grown out of now. He can swallow tablets. But no, he does have, there are a couple of remedies that he always has to boost his immunity if he needs it.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know, is there any secret sauce, any, you know, little hidden secret, maybe natural remedies that might give Oscar the edge?
I would be a very wealthy lady if there were. There's certainly lots of things to keep him healthy and as strong physically as possible. I can't say, I always say, fish oil when you're pregnant helps the brain. And he's a smart kid and he uses his brain more than any other talent, I think, in the car. So I say fish oil. There you go.
Fish oil.
Get it in early.
Because I feel like he doesn't need any calming supplements.
Definitely not. Definitely no calming supplements for Oscar. He's got that covered well and truly.
Australia is incredibly proud of Oscar.
I've got the t-shirt on.
Yeah, we're all full support, wishing him all the very best for the next two races and next year and his future, of course. And thanks for stopping to have
a chat. Thanks, Di. You're welcome.
Well, given that was recorded with still two races to go in last year's season when it was so close and really hotting up, my God, there was 100 million questions I wanted to ask it. But out of respect, I didn't ask her anything about papaya rules or politics, even though I desperately wanted to. There was some footage and photos floating around of Oscar and his girlfriend Lily in Australia. I hope Nicole enjoyed having her whole family back together again for a short time anyway before this season gets underway. That's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed those short but fun interviews. So just remember, if you are going to Melbourne, jump on the F1 exhibition website and secure your ticket before it will sell out again. I'm told that tickets to the F1 exhibition sold out for race week within days of them going on sale. So if you're going to be in Melbourne, if you want to go to the F1 exhibition, jump on, get your ticket now. As I said at the start of the episode, this podcast has got a new name change and new social media handles and a new email and a new website. So it's been a busy off-season for me, actually sorting all that out. So if you'd like to drop us a line, you can email us at hello@awaywegopodcast.com. And the website is awaywegopodcast.com. You can find us on all the podcast listening channels, and you can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. Hi, if you're watching on YouTube. And because I've made so many changes at the back end, if you do come across any glitches, please drop me a line. Please let me know. That would be super helpful. Hopefully not. Hopefully I've done everything correctly. Great to be back in the chair with the mic and chatting with you again. So until next time and until lights out.
Are you ready?
Hey, it's lights out and away we go.
Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto.